I don't know about you, but I came to church full today. Praise the Lord. I came to church expectant today. I came to church excited today. I came to church with the love of God in me, the peace of God in me, the direction of God in me. Glory to God. I came with God in me. Hallelujah. And I hope you did too. Praise the Lord. And if you didn't, well, we will make sure that you don't leave without him. Amen. We'll make sure that he gets into you before everything is said and done. Amen. Glory to God. God's got a wonderful plan for this church, this service. Amen. And I'm just excited for it. Man, I'll just tell you the truth. My wife and I, we listened to what, 2-3 sermons today? 2 sermons anyways. We watched 2, so we partook of 2 sermons. 3 sermons? 3 sermons. We got into 3 sermons. Amen. She got into 4. Hallelujah. You want to come preach? You might, glory to God, but I'm telling you, man, it is good to get full of what God has for you, amen? Praise the Lord, and you know what he's got full? The best thing that somebody is going to do is teach you the word, because when people teach you the word, it'll set you free, amen? Put you on a new course, it'll stir you up, it'll get you excited. You know, you can come in and you can feel humdrum, but by the time you get done, man, you just, what does Reverend Greer say? I don't even know how he says. He says you run through a troop and over a wall, or through a wall and over a troop, or I don't know what he does. He's running though, praise the Lord. And we're just going to run with him, amen. Glory to God. I am so thankful for the local church. I'm so thankful for what God has given us to be a blessing. You know, there's an attack on the local church. There has been for quite some time. Some people think that you can have God without the local church. I'm just here to tell you, you cannot have God without the local church. You can't have the fullness of God. You can get a little measure of it, but it's not going to be what God has for you. The blessing of God comes through being connected to the local church. And I am just so thankful that God has connected me to a local church. My life has never been the same. It has changed and gone from one level of good to another level of gooder. Amen. And we're just, praise the Lord, all that God has for us, we're endeavoring to get. Amen. All he has for us, when I say all he has for us, I don't just mean all that he wants to give us, but all he has for us to do, amen? I'm excited about the plan of God. I get excited that I get to be part of what he's doing. You know, if you had gotten in on the early stages of Amazon, everybody know what Amazon is, amen? If you had gotten in on the early stages and invested money in Amazon, in fact, my wife has a friend who got in the early stages of some company. That's all I'm going to say about it. Doesn't matter what it was. But she got in the early stages of some company. And because she got in the early stages of that company, and she didn't even know what she was getting into at the time, and when it starts paying out, she was real blessed. Amen? Why? Because she got in early. Amen? Well, how many know that God isn't going to let the world outdo him? Right? Amen? That the stock market isn't going to outdo the Holy Spirit? And so if you get in on the early stages of something that God is doing, even though it might seem small, you know, when this friend of my wife's invested in this this business, you know, one of the reasons that she invested in it was because it was affordable. It was cheap. She got in the early stages when there wasn't much going on, amen? But because that was when she got in, it paid out later on. Now, how many know if you'd gotten in on the early stages of Amazon and you did it a lot, you would be quite wealthy now. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I've actually seen this in my own life. I've seen opportunities miss because I didn't follow the Holy Spirit when he told me to go or showed me to go. And that was my fault, not his. But there was greater down the road, and he knew that ahead of time. Right. Amen. Well, God planted a work here in Corey, and he directed us to do it. I'm not speaking about anybody else's church. I'm just speaking about this one because this is the one I know about. But he planted this work here, and as we've been faithful to be part of it, there's some early stages. It's cheap to get in on it right now. Amen. It's not expensive to get in on it. But how many know that those who get in and connect and be will stay connected to it? How many know that the payout will be great? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so you're just in the beginning stages now. You say, well, Pastor, we've been here for 3 years, 4 years, almost 4 years. Glory to God. It don't matter. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the Lord ain't concerned about 4 years. Amen. He ain't concerned about 10 years. If it takes 20 or whatever it takes. Amen. We're just going to be there when God when God does whatever he is going to do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Today's message is called Stability and Righteousness. Praise the Lord. This message is in line with, you know, I've been seeking the Lord on Corey and what my role is here as a pastor, but what our role is as a church and what the things that we need to be doing. You know, and the Lord started revealing to me the things that, you know, and I shared the scripture last week in Titus 1:5. Originally, he had given me, that was one of the scriptures he had given me to tell me why that he had us here, to put in order the things which are lacking, to add our part. And some people might say, you know, that sounds kind of conceited, like that you got some. I ain't got nothing, amen. I'm just doing what God says to do. God's got it all. He's got all the plans. He's got all the ability. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. If we need cattle, praise the Lord, that's what we'll have, amen. But it's all him, amen. It's not me boasting on us, because I'm not going to boast on myself. I've learned far and wide that I'm not someone to boast on, but I do boast on what the Lord is doing. Amen. And so I'm not ashamed of his direction. When he said to put in order the things that are lacking, listen, he may have told every other pastor to do that too, and maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one he told. I don't know. That's not my concern. I just know what he told me to do. Amen. But he said that I put you in Corey. I put you in Crete to put in order the things which are lacking. And so recently I was seeking the Lord, and I was like, okay, Lord, what are some things that are lacking? And don't you know, when you ask God a question, he'll answer you? He'll start showing you. And the Lord started revealing to me step by step and over some of the things I've learned, excuse me, over the last 4 years or three and a half or three, mostly almost 4 years. Some of the things that I've learned, he started putting those things together and I started seeing what the answer was. Amen. So the other, about a week ago or a week and a half ago, I was up here in Corey, and I was driving around and praying, and I was just like, Lord, what is it? What is it that's lacking? Show me something that's lacking. And, you know, as I was driving and praying, and all of a sudden the word stability started coming to my spirit. And I started seeing this more and more and more. And he started showing me, not in what I was seeing after then, but from the things I've seen over the time that we've been here. And he started connecting the dots for me. Now, I'm not smart enough to come up on all this on my own, amen. And so we know we need to trust God for it, amen. But he showed me a lot of things about that. You know, one of the things that the Lord showed me, and I believe this is probably part of the connection of why he brought us down here. Because one of the greatest things probably that the Lord did in my life, beyond saving me, of course, and not letting me go to hell, praise the Lord, one of the greatest things that the Lord did in my life is make me stable. My life was the epitome of instability when I was in my younger years. And it was through the local church, through having a pastor, that God put stability in me. Amen. Now, there's some things that are taught in the family churches that are a little bit different than they are taught in a lot of other churches. Not all other churches, but a lot of other churches. There is a common thread to resist the way that God does things. Amen. To resist the order in how he does things. Amen. And we have to be careful about that. We, as Christians, we have to. But one of the things is when you resist the way God does things, the way God thinks makes things better. Amen. You resist the ability to get better. Because you can't find it apart from God. Now, the things I'm going to preach, of course, we have a lot of scripture on, and we have a lot more than what we're presenting. But we're the scripture I'm going to be presenting today was the direction and the answer for part of this. Now, here's the thing. I'm preaching to, even if you take the size of the town and you compare it, even if every seat in here was full, even if every room in here was packed full, in comparison to the entire town of Corey, I'm not preaching to the entire area. But there are some things that sometimes just need to be preached and be established in an area before they'll come to pass. Amen? And so that's what we're trusting God to do. But one of the things is I have noticed when I came down here that, number one, there was a lot of churches. And a lot of churches have a lot of people. And then when you have a lot of churches with a lot of people, it means you have a lot of believers. And then another thing I started seeing over the years was that there's a lot of believers that come together, and they're believing for great things. A lot of them are trying to have unity, which these are all things God loves. God wants to have unity. Amen. And so we see this, and a lot of people who are involved, and they even have a thing here called, I think, One Church, or One Church Corey, or One Corey Church, or something like that. I don't know. I haven't gotten involved with it or anything like that yet. And this isn't because I'm opposite, or I want to be, opposing what other people are doing. But I just know this, that I have to do what God has called me to do. Amen? And when I started looking at all this, you know, I thought that's interesting, and I've even sought the Lord. Do I get involved with these things? And maybe some of them I will, maybe some of them I won't. I don't know, at least right now, what's going to happen in the future. But the reason that I say this is because what I started seeing is there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of people being church, there's a lot of people calling themselves by the name of Christ. But one thing I don't see is a lot of change. And so the question has to be, what's missing in the mix? Because if the dough ain't rising, glory to God. If the cookies aren't coagulating, or whatever cookies do, if they're not sticking together, if the meatloaf is falling apart, amen, then something's missing in the mix. And so the Lord started showing me what, actually, even just recently, started showing me what that is. And that's the direction that I'm preaching tonight. Amen. So we're going to see what's missing in the mix, and we're going to see how to fix it. Amen. So why don't you turn with me in Matthew 9. Glory to God. Matthew 9. And I am really excited about this message. God could not bring stability into my life until he got me into the right place, hearing the right things from the right person. If you have heard nothing so far, hear this. The greatest thing that God is going to do in your life is connect you to the body of Christ. When you get connected to the body of Christ, you get connected where God connects you and how he connects you. Under whom he connects you. Amen? And that's what God does. If we choose to vary from that or separate from that, we only hurt ourselves. Amen? Well, not just ourselves. We can hurt others as well, but praise the Lord, we're not going to do that. So Matthew 9:36, it says here, but when he, and this is Jesus, talking about Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Jesus was moved with compassion because the thing that he saw in the people, they had their religion, they had their faith, they had all the law, they had the practices, they had all the things. But what did he say? They were weary and scattered. Amen. Like sheep having no shepherd. The first thing that Jesus did when he ascended into heaven was he led captivity captive, and then he gave us the ministry offices. He gave us the ministry offices to establish us, to help us, to teach us, to guide us, and most importantly, to make us stable. Without the ministry offices, and in particular the office of pastor, a Christian cannot be stable. And if you cannot be stable, you cannot produce what God wants you to produce. You can have all the show. You can have all the look. You can have all the idea. And you say, we might be saying, well, Pastor Jeff, but there's a lot of pastors here. There is a lot of pastors here, but there's something that I've noticed, and it's not just in Corey, but I've noticed a lot across the body of Christ, that this is an issue, is there is a lack of submission to the place, the authority structure that God has placed. Pastors are afraid to be pastors. They're afraid to be leaders. And what's happened is everybody thinks that they have the direction of God and that they can do it. And when you have a bunch of people running around thinking they have the direction of God, what you get is exactly what you see here is no direction at all. Because God doesn't lead that way. God leads from the top down. He always does. I am submitted to a pastor. My pastor is submitted to a pastor. My pastor's pastor is submitted to a pastor. And that pastor is also submitted to the pastor. Praise the Lord. You see how this works? You don't get to get out of it. You have to submit because that's what God has called us to do. And we're going to see this all in the Word tonight. But this is the key, because God does not lead a group of people by everybody riding on the bus. He isn't driving the bus by everybody riding on the bus. How many know that that would be a disaster? My wife and I went to, and my daughter went on a bus trip last year to New York City. We took a bus trip there. We took a plane home. Amen. Never take a bus trip again. That's just my opinion. You can do what you want to do, but we'll never take a bus trip again. But we took a bus trip down to New York City. And one of the things is they made a lot of stops on that. And on that stop, they picked up a lot of different people. Certainly those people all had different ideas about a lot of different things. I knew because the guy that I got to sit next to had a lot of different ideas than I did. And it made the ride, well, I'll just put it to you this way. It made me fly home instead of riding on the bus home because I didn't want to get in that mess again. But you understand that you can have a lot of different ideas, but we all were relying on the bus driver to take us where we needed to go. Well, the same thing is with the body of Christ. God is not saying, oh, just everybody come up with some idea, call it the Holy Spirit, and then run with it. Because how many know that everybody who thinks that they've been led by the Holy Spirit is convinced that they've been led by the Holy Spirit? But you can have two people, you can have a husband and a wife even, that are convinced that they're both led by the Holy Spirit. But when they look into the direction, it's completely different and takes them in two different directions. Now, is God leading two people in a different... No, you got to understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying, you know, obviously my wife does things a little bit differently than I do. But when we come together, the direction is the same. She doesn't have a different direction for her life than I do. Amen. There may be different aspects of it. It may look different. For example, I preach more than my wife. Glory to God. My wife does different things in the church. Just because I'm ministering doesn't think she does as much as I do, if not more, for the church, but a lot of it's behind the scenes. Yeah. Amen. What is that? It's just a different thing. And she ministers too, of course, and is wonderful at doing so. But you understand, it doesn't always look the same, but it's the same direction. Yeah. It's not fighting one another. Your direction and your spouse's direction is not going to be tearing you apart. But the same thing is in the body of Christ. Liz's direction isn't going to be pulling her in to tear this section over there, and Melissa's direction is going to be going over here and form. You know, have you ever heard of a church split? Do you know church splits are never the plan of God? I said it's never the plan of God. How do I know? Because look at how all church splits happen. Somebody's not happy with somebody. Somebody thinks that they have better ideas or they need to do it differently. And they usually go and they break not in joy and not in peace. And when they go, they take part of the church with them. That isn't the direction of God. God is not called to church. In fact, if you study the Bible, if you understand how love works, the very premise of love says that you couldn't do such a thing. The very ideas of divisiveness and stuff like that, the Bible says that God despises, he loathes divisiveness, contentions among brethren. He says, as much as it's up to you, be in peace with all men at all times. If God leads you somewhere else, that's fine. God will lead people to other places, but he isn't going to lead you to tear somebody else's kingdom apart or so what somebody else has built. Is really what I should say, amen? And so you understand that God isn't pulling us in a lot of different directions. Now, there may be different plans for different churches. The things that we do here are a little bit different than what we do in Mayville. And that's fine. But you know something? They don't pull and tug against one another. They complement one another. This is for this body. That's for that body. Fredonia does things a little bit differently than we do them elsewhere. But you know what? That's how they're led. But it doesn't pull and it doesn't tear and it doesn't rip and break. What does it do? It complements. Praise the Lord. I'm teaching truth here. The truth that I'm giving you is one of the foundational things that needs to be put in this area. And it's not just Cory, Pennsylvania. It's any area, but I do know that it belongs here. And so you have to forgive me if I preach boldly about it, but I know it's the truth of God. They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. What is the context of this verse? The shepherd is the one who guides the sheep. They take them where they need to go. They lead them to food. They make sure they're sheltered. They make sure they're protected. All of these things are covered under that. And we know that the word pastor literally means shepherd. That's literally what it is. And so God gave us those. He gave us those offices to do just that. Amen. He gave those offices to give the direction. The direction will come and flow through that way. And as people submit to that, yes, God will use people. He will use you in great ways. But you know, sometimes the ways that people got, the way people are going to be used in church is just simply to be part of the group, to be a supply to the group, to be, to just be that extra voice, another person of agreement or something like that. Amen. But God has never called somebody to be in a church to be divisive. Praise the Lord. And part of divisiveness, see we're going to think, we're going to look at divisiveness and we're going to think, well, it's just contentions between people. It's got to be an argument. But that's not just what divisiveness is. Do you know it's divisive if I say we need to go this way and someone says, no, I really know that I need to go this way. But they're part of the same local body. Guess what? That's divisiveness. If it's not complementing the work, it's pulling against it. If it's not aiding to the work, it's trying to tear it down. And that's what the devil does. But see, the way that the devil convinces people is he gets people in their pride. Yeah. Well, I heard from God. Yeah. Well, see, God isn't speaking to you to be divisive. Never. He will never point out your spouse's flaws. Right. The Holy Spirit will not say, look at your spouse, this is where they're flawed. Right. He won't do that. He doesn't work that way. The same thing is the Holy Spirit is not going to look at you, is not going to point out to your pastor, say, look at your pastor. This is where he's flawed. Yeah. This is where she's flawed. Right. Look at that. Your brother or sister over here. This is where they're flawed. Yeah. Now, the Lord may show you something if you can help it, or he may show you something to pray. But he isn't pointing out somebody else's downfalls or somebody else's inabilities because he wants you to look at them and be able to decide that they're wrong. Right. That's not how God works. Yeah. Amen. But so many people think that that's how God works, and that's why things are in so much mess and chaos. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Just in case you didn't believe me, we're going to get into Scripture and find out what he says about what the Bible says about this. Amen. Now, this section in, I'm preaching here out of 2 Timothy 3. That's where I want you to go, 2 Timothy 3. And I'm also preaching in Mayville out of 2 Timothy 3 at some point tomorrow. But the script, they're different parts of it, but they kind of go together. But it's really interesting how I just thought the Lord's two things that he was dealing with me on this week, one for each church, and they're both in the same chapter, amen, of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I didn't have any idea. I mean, I went looking for what I was hearing in my spirit, and I found them in the same section of Scripture. Glory to God. But for this word, 2 Timothy 3:1, praise the Lord. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Amen. First thing I want you to notice about all of these things is they can be summed up in one word, and that word is pride. All of these things are found in human pride. To be haughty is to be puffed up and to be, just wanting to look what I'm doing. Amen? Yeah. To be blowing smoke, in other words. I think that's literally kind of what the meaning is. But what is that? It's pride. Yeah. When you look at all of these, when you see in the last perilous times will come, men are lovers of themselves. Of course, that's pride. Lovers of money, it's all pride. Why would somebody be in love with money? Because of what it can do for them. People who are in love with money are not people who are givers in the church. Do you know there's a statistic that I was actually talking to a pastor, and this pastor has a couple of millionaires in his church. How many pastors, if you're not a pastor, but you probably, if you were a pastor, you imagine you would want a millionaire in your church. But this pastor said to me one time, he said, you know what's interesting? He said, you'd think that the millionaire would be the biggest giver, but they're not. The biggest giver is not even the one who earns the most money. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's a lover of money. Now, I'm not judging the heart of the person. I don't know the person personally, and I'm just saying that, you know, maybe they need more teaching or whatever, or more understanding. But you understand that when you're a lover of money, it's about pride. It's about your money. In fact, I've seen that with a lot of people with money. It's their money. It's theirs, their stuff, their whatever. Amen? You have to be careful of that kind of mentality. Boasters, talking about what we're doing. Do you know you can boast even on something good, wrong? You can say, "Oh, we're the most loving church." What is that? It's pride. Why? Because God never called you to boast about how much you love someone else. He said, "Just love other people. Be humble as you do it." Amen. To be humble, to be in humility, literally means to lick the hand. The word for humble in the Bible literally means to lick the hand. That's what it's talking about, with giving you the idea of what a dog does. When a dog comes up to you, it licks your hand. What does a dog generally do? Like a dog that's in the household will always submit to the one. There's someone, at least one person, it always submits to, right? If it's in general, you know, that's the way that it goes. And they'll yield to that. That's exactly what humility is. Yielding, constantly always yielding to someone else. Pride does the opposite of that. We're the most loving. We're the best. You know, you can think your church is the best. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can go boasting about it and get wrong real quick. Especially when you look into another church and say, "No, we're better than that church." I've been learning real sharply from the Lord that I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not looking at other churches going, I'm not looking at these other churches, even Corey. I'm not looking at them saying we're better than them or not. I'm not even looking at that. I don't care about that. But that doesn't mean I can't look and see what something, you know, when something's off. And I don't know exactly what happens in all the churches, but I do know this, that the power of God is real. And the power of God always works. And if somebody is right working the power of God, it will always produce harvest, and it will be evident in the area. This area has extreme drugs. It has extreme poverty. None of these things are God. None of these things are the heart of God. And yet these are some of the things. There is an instability all over the place. That is never God. God is always stable. God is always always provision. Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord. I haven't even looked into the health of the area. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Blasphemers, same thing, thinking you know more than God. Disobedient to parents, you know more than your parents. That's pride. Unthankful, you deserve it. Yeah, right. Thinking that you deserve something makes you unthankful. Yeah. Thinking you deserve, what is everything that's happening in our nation today? Yeah. What is it doing? You deserve this. Yeah. That's what they're telling you. You deserve it. Yeah. You deserve stimulus checks. If you ask me, the stimulus checks are maybe one of the most dangerous things, especially to Christians. Yeah. Why? Because they're relying on that. They're not relying on God anymore. They're waiting for the stimulus check saying, "Hey, you know what? I got to have my money. I got to be taken care of by the government." What is that? It's pride. You deserve this. You don't deserve nothing. What you deserve is what the Bible says. God gives you what you deserve. God will, if you deserve more, God will make sure you have more. Amen. God is not withholding any good thing from. There's some people get really mad about what I'm preaching right now, but you know what? I'm not saying it here. I'm just saying in general. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter. God has not called us to rely on the government to take care of us. And if we rely on the government to take care of us, we have neglected the weightier matters, the things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bankrupt an economy. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, people don't have any idea. Where do you think the money comes from? Is there an unending well of finances that the government can just keep, and they're just going to keep pouring out, Am I saying it's wrong to cash one? I'm not saying it's wrong to cash one. I'm saying it's wrong to depend on it. And I say it's making people invalids. Because what the government wants to do, what the government's desire is, and this isn't an anti-government message, but what the end result of this is people wholeheartedly reliant on the government for everything. There's ideas that people should just because you're alive, you should get paid. Do you know that there's ideas like that out there? Just because you live, you should get money. There are people that are in office today that think just because you're alive, you deserve a paycheck. That's not what the Bible says. No. To agree with that is rejection of the Word of God. Yes. Rejection of the Word of God is rejection of God. You can't reject the Word of God and not be rejecting God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a big one there as well. Just give me my, just make me comfortable. Yeah. At all stakes, make me comfortable. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what I have to pay to get there. It doesn't matter what it costs me to do this. Amen? Praise the Lord. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know, so much I always thought that this scripture, and I probably because I was taught it at some point, thought that this scripture was saying that these people, one of the things that they're going to do is deny the power. They're going to say, well, the power of God isn't found in miracles and stuff like that. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. What the scripture is talking about, when you look at it in context, he's talking about a person who does all these things. What they're doing is they're denying the real power. They're refusing the power of God. They refuse the power of God to work in their lives. To deny literally means to reject. And really, in the understanding of my understanding of these scriptures, when you read the next part, and from such people turn away, that word people isn't in the original language. It means more like from such things turn away. In other words, to go in a different direction. Don't be full of this direction. You know, when you see someone going in this direction, you go in an opposite direction. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Yes. Glory to God. See, when we see things, now when you read these more, of course, I'm going to read the rest of them further down. I'm going to read that in Mayville tomorrow. But when you start seeing what's going on in the world today, it matches up with 2 Timothy 3 almost identically. Yes. And when you see that happening, you have to ask yourselves, am I going to be going in the direction that the world's going, or am I going in the direction that God is going? Because God is not going in the direction that you concoct in your head. He is going in the direction that he's taught. Now listen, if any of the things that I say to you, even today, are stepping on your toes, praise the Lord for it. Because it's not what you do right that hurts you. It's what you're doing wrong that hurts you. Those are the things that keep you back. God has never, ever, you cannot find it in Scripture that he desires his children to be orphans, to be left without, because the Bible preaches completely opposite of that. The whole New Testament is about what God wants to pour into us, not what he wants to take away from us. But see, people, they resist the Lord, they resist the way God does things. And as a result, they resist the power of God in their lives. And then they go looking for it and they don't find it. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 2:9-11, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Bring it up here in case you don't have it. Write it down. Look at it later if you want. For this was my purpose in writing to you, to test your attitude and see if you would stand the test. Whether you are obedient and altogether agreeable to following my orders in everything, this is Paul talking, if you forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence and with the approval of Christ the Messiah. To keep Satan from getting advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. I think in the straight up New King James Version, it says, we're not ignorant of his devices, the things the devil uses to manipulate and control us. What does he use? He steps on your pride, or he tickles your pride. The devil goes after your pride, because what is the thing that made the devil fall? Pride. Look who I am. Look what I deserve. Look what I can be. Look how much better I am. Praise the Lord. However you want to package it. Pride isn't just you're awesome. You know, pride is just being consumed with yourself. Consumed with what you want. Praise the Lord. Consumed with what you need. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach us to be consumed with what we need. In fact, Jesus told us over and over again, the apostle Paul told us, you don't worry about what you need. You don't worry about you. You worry about what God wants you to do, and he will take care of the rest. But what do people do? The number one thing I see as a pastor and people is worrying about what they're going to do with anything. What's the trouble that you're facing? You're worried about what you're going to do about it, how you're going to fix it, how is it ever going to end, how is it going to stop, all of these things. What is that? That is self-exaltation, self-preservation, which is self-exaltation. I need to take care of me. I just need to do this for me. Me, 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 me. God never called you to me. He called you to him. I said, God never called you to you. He called you to him. Praise the Lord. When will Christians really start to realize this? That he has called them to him. When you are called to him, you're called up higher than you. See, when you're focused on you, you're focused down here. Like, listen, if you are in a bad way or a bad place, and this will be help for you. If you can get through the offense, if you get through the heaviness of what's being preached. When you're in trouble, when you're in dire straits, when you need help, you're down here. You need to be lifted up. Nobody will deny that. Amen. What does Christ do? He lifts us up. What does the Holy Spirit do? He lifts us up. But listen, if we are so focused down here, we can't see the hand trying to help us up. And what does the devil do? He brings in wiles. He brings in his devices. He brings in his deception. He gets people convinced what they need is government-run health care, government paychecks. Government needs to step in here. They need to step in here. They never need to do this. I am not saying that it's bad to help people. That's not what I'm saying. The church should be an example of helping people. But there again, even in the church, you don't see it because most people in the church feel like they're powerless to do anything. How do I know? Because most people that go to church don't tithe. Most people that go to church don't give. What does that mean? Do you realize that the majority, it's like 25% of the church at the high end does all of everything? That means that there's people that are freeloaders in the church. They sit there. They eat for free all the time. What is that? It's welfare. It's not what God has called you to. He's called you to be a feeder. I said he's called you to be a feeder, not to be one who's just fed. He said, I'll take care of you when you're a feeder. I'll wet you when you're the hose. Amen? The hose is the one that sprays out. But a lot of Christians are not in the hose. Amen? Or like my pastor always preached, they're a drain. What does a drain do? Everything drains. Everything, it sucks everything towards it. It's all about it. Amen? Glory to God. These are the devices of the devil. But see, even Christians can't see it. Even good-hearted Christians are missing it. They're thinking, well, this is my ministry. This is, I need to have a voice here. Your voice, if you've been given a voice, you haven't been given a voice for you at all. You've been given a voice for the body of Christ, and it only needs to come out when God needs to bring it out. It has nothing to do with your desire and want to bring it out. Amen? But what does everybody want to do? They get puffed up with pride. I want to preach. I want to be the one who speaks. I want to be the one. I'm not saying, listen, if you have a real call to your life, praise the Lord for it. God says if you do, then you desire a good thing, that there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, the desire can't be so you get an opportunity. The desire is so you fulfill the plan of God. And if you aren't needed, then you're not needed. Then you clean the toilets. You do something else that blesses the body of Christ. But you know how many ministers, and we've seen this before, how many ministers, they get a title. They get to be titled something. This is one of the things I love about MTC, about the way that the family church is trained. Because going to MTC doesn't mean that you get a title of anything. In fact, there's plenty of people that have gone to MTC that never even got titled, they're not doing anything. But that's not God's choice, that's theirs. See, you start from the bottom and God works you up with faithfulness. He works through faithfulness, amen? But the thing about God working through faithfulness is to a faithful person, he will always increase them. He will always help them, he will always take them higher. They will never be stuck where they're at if you're faithful. But he isn't going to be doing it through the hands of, through the arm of the government or something like that. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that there's not, like if a Christian is on welfare or something like that, I'm not saying there's anything, that's not wrong. if they have to do something for a time, if you're in a position where you just got, you know, there are good things out there and there's good things about that. There's good things about government. I'm not saying that there's not. I'm certainly not saying that there's not. But my point is that we have to understand that the submission, our desire, our hearts have to be God-focused, not government-focused, not me-focused, not stuff-focused, but it's got to be focused on God's plan and God's house. But you can't do it if you're separate or you resist the way that God does things. And one of the number one things that I'm addressing here, listen, there may be everybody in here. Maybe everybody in here doesn't feel a need to ministry at all. I know that's not true, but even if you had no, listen, I would still be preaching these things because it's not just about you sitting here. Yeah. It's about those who are listening. Yeah. It's about those who are out there who haven't heard the word yet, but the word is being established because it's being preached in the place where God has called it to be preached. Whether people show up or not doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is that I do what God has called me to do. Yeah. Amen. Do you realize I had to consecrate myself to that? Yeah. I had to consecrate myself to the idea that if I came here and nobody showed up year after year after year, but God called me here to do it, it didn't matter. I'd still have to do it. Yeah. Even if there's no fruit in that matter or in that instance, right. Or seemingly no fruit, yeah. Amen, tangible fruit or whatever. But there was because I followed the plan of God. See, that's what matters most, is doing what God has called us to do, not for us, for the body. Everything I minister is not for me, it's for the body. This doesn't increase me. Coming to Corey doesn't increase me in the sense of that it does, you know, I'm not like all of a sudden we're millionaires because now we have two churches. Actually, you could say it just the opposite, because this church doesn't barely bring anything in to support itself. So all the support is coming from somewhere else. Well, what do you think that does? That makes it more difficult to do anything extra, amen, for the Mayville Church. But it's what they're called to do. It's what we're called to do. And so we do it without a thought of whether or not you get paid for it, amen? And that's what the ministry of the Lord is. You're not looking to say, well, I'm only going to do this if it gets me somewhere. No, I'm doing this because of what I'm called to do. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, I want to be careful about that. Well, there's something real good that was said to me this week, and I'll share it with that person when it's time. It'll be time soon, but praise the Lord. I just don't have a release to say it here, but glory to God. You'll know if you hear it. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5. Now, these are some scriptures here that God has. You know, I just preached these in Mayville. Not all these scriptures, but in Peter. 1 Peter 5. That the Lord recently showed me on some things, and I never saw it before. I don't know. Did I preach it here? I don't think I preached it here. I know I preached it at Mayville. Praise God. But even if I did, I'm preaching it here again. Because God showed me some things about these that I never saw before. Praise God. We're talking about submission in the local church. We're talking about how we come to church. Do you know, praise God, people don't realize the importance of just how they come to church. Do you come with the expectation of God moving? I come with the expectation that God's going to move on me. Otherwise, I wouldn't keep coming to the pulpit. If I didn't know God was going to move on me, I trust God every time I get in the pulpit. I have to, because I can't preach a message without the Lord. But you know what's amazing about that? He always shows up. But that also increases my expectation, which is why you keep getting sermons. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I didn't have that expectation, you wouldn't get sermons. I want to talk to you about expectation for a second. If I didn't have an expectation of God using me, you wouldn't be getting preached to. You wouldn't be getting the stuff that helps you. You wouldn't be getting the stuff that changes your life. It's not just my job, though. When you come to church, do you have the same expectation? I come full of expectation. But do you come to church full of expectation that, you know what? I may have my toes stepped on, but I'm going to get what I need tonight. Do you have that expectation? Do you have the expectation that every time you show up, that Jesus shows up? And that every time Jesus shows up, that your life changes, even if you can't fully see it in that moment? Do you believe that? Do you have that expectation? Because if you do, I'm going to tell you, you will come to church a little more stirred up than you do. You'll come to church a little more excited than you are. Amen? I'm just speaking in general. Amen? I wish I would have known that when I was in someone else's church. because there wasn't always times where I was excited. Sometimes I sat there and I was very obstinate. Sometimes I was sitting there very opposed to what was being preached. Amen. But I learned not to stay that way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So one of the things that I've been doing as a pastor is I've just been seeking God on, Lord, am I pastoring correctly? Am I an example to the people? Do I do things the way that I'm supposed to? You know, I want to be humble. I want to be a person who is not demanding a whole lot, a person who is not always trying to get their way. You know, I have to have things my way or the highway and stuff like that. And so I've really looked into that. And in that search, in that, it's been a heart search for probably well over about a year now, I would say, specifically on these things, really looking into my own life, I'm saying. I mean, I've always kind of been like, you know, I want to make sure that I do things right by the Lord. But specifically, I've been seeking that out. And then I come across these scriptures, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord has shared with me. In 1 Peter 5, 1, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Now, I'm going to stop there for example. I'm going to explain what elders are. You know, different people have different ideas of what elders are. I love the Mormons, the Mormon kiddies they send around. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a Mormon teenage boy come up to your door and it says, you know, what, Elder Barry or Elder so-and-so, you know, is it Elder so-and-so, it's Elder this, Elder that, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, you're 17, 18 years old, you're not, what are you an elder of? First of all, just by looking at you, you're not an elder. I can tell you're not an elder. I mean, you aren't even getting a full face of hair yet. You know what I mean? So you haven't fully made it into even adulthood, but just being an adult doesn't make you an elder either. And so when I started researching it, what I found out is literally elders here is it was like a position in the church. It was somebody who is advanced in the church to the place where they're trusted in the church for ministry and things like that, or dealing with the people. And so deacons could be elders. Of course, pastors are elders. Prophets, you know, real prophets could be elders and stuff like that. You know, but they're people who are trusted. They're people who are stable. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. I've met a lot of ministers from other denominations and stuff like that. And I talked to them for about 15 minutes and I'm like, I'm thinking, they seriously put you in front of people? Like, they were some of the most unstable people in the world. Listen, nobody will ever get in this pulpit who hasn't proven themselves first in some sort of stability. Never. I would never do it. So one thing that you can know by that, if somebody stands here and preaches and ministers the word to you, that they've been somebody who's proven that they're stable somewhere. Amen? And not just proven that they're stable for 15 minutes, but they're proven time and time again. Amen? Stability is one of the number one things that God produces in a Christian. Why? Because God is a God of order. We know that the Bible tells us that. Right? 1 Corinthians tells us that God is a God of order, so there should be order in the churches. When he tells the bishops what they should look like, they said they had to rule their own household well, because if they can't rule their own household, how could they rule the house of God? What is that? Order? What is rule? It's order. Order, 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 order. Stability, stability, stability. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory to God. So the elders who are among you, doesn't just mean the old people that are among you, but those who are trusted, those who are the ones who are the leaders, amen? The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords. Notice it didn't say not for gain, it said not for dishonest gain. That's just free, no charge. Nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. Younger people here is not talking about people like my daughter, because she's 12 years old. Glory to God. She's a younger person, but that's not what it's referring to. When you study this out, what it's referring to is people who are younger in the faith, people who have not advanced to eldership, people who can't be used in that position yet, people that are still learning the basic things of Christ. Amen? In other words, generally most of the sheep, the population of the church. Glory to God. This right here, is why this idea of elders and younger is exactly why church-run boards are garbage. I said church-run when everybody gets a vote. Why? Because if you got, you know, you got so-and-so back there who's been there for 15 minutes, but they have a say on what we should do, how is that the Holy Spirit? This person can't even brush their teeth, and you think that God is teaching that or going to teach the flock of God through them? This person can't even, like, they can't even order their own life, and you think that God is going to use them to lead the church? It isn't going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You understand what I'm saying? Well, praise God. So, order. Amen. Order. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, this is the part that we're getting here. Now, what God showed me in here in context, the submission of the elders is to the call that they're called to. If you don't think that it's, if you don't think that there is submission in being an elder, it's obvious why you're not an elder. Amen? Because running a church is about submission. Being a pastor of a church, you have to submit your entire life. We're going to see that here in a second, but in a quick second, because I got to get moving. But you understand, like, there is submission. Praise the Lord. A lot of submission. In fact, there's more submission on this end than there is on the other end, but it's a different kind of submission. Amen? But it says here, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, here we have that idea of licking the hand, of completely laying it down for that one you're submitting to. That's what true humility is. But what does it say? It says God resists the proud. Remember what we talked about, all those things in pride that we see in the church. Well, it's my turn. It's my turn to be used. It's my turn to be seen. What is that? It's pride. It's our turn. We're the ones that God wants to use. Praise the Lord. Listen, I understand that I'm preaching about how God is using us, but I'm not saying he's only using us. But the point that I'm trying to make is when you exalt yourself to the place where you can be the only one used, or you have to be the one used, amen? That's self-exaltation. God resists that. And so in people's pride, when they think that, you know, he resists the proud, it's not just in those areas, it's in all the areas. We do it best. Resisting. Everybody's got a say here. That's pride. Yeah. Why? Why do you need a say? Is God not the leader? Who's going to deny that? Is God not the leader? Then what does your say matter? Your say doesn't matter. Your opinion does not matter. See, this is the problem in most churches, is that everybody thinks because they're American, their opinion matters. Your opinion does not matter to God. The only opinion that matters in the church is God's opinion. And he hasn't given that to everybody. He's not given his direction and all his knowledge to everybody. God has a pecking order, and he always sticks by the pecking order. And until the pastors realize there's a pecking order, the people won't realize it. Until the people realize that there's a pecking order, nobody's going anywhere. Why? Because it's disordered. It's out of the. It's out of orders. It's out of bounds. It's out of the lines of what God wants to do. He gives a pecking order on purpose, because 50 people driving a bus will crash the bus. It will never get to the destination, and God knows that. That's why I always get to drive, and my wife rides. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you understand what we're saying. You see, some of you would say these things, and there's people, I'm sure there's people that could tune in and say, oh, what a pride, he's full of himself, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not here because I want to be. I'm here because God told me to be. I don't keep coming back because I want to be here, because it benefits me. It doesn't benefit me from that standpoint. I'm here because God called me to be. Now, I embrace that and love that, and I want to, you know, be excited about that. Of course, you know, all those things have to be there. Well, I can't be a miserable person in the plan of God, because that's also not in the plan of God. Why? Because that's still pride. Praise the Lord. I don't care. Just, Lord, whatever you got for me to do. Listen, if he has me here for a year, another year, and sends me somewhere, glory to God, we'll do it. Yeah. whatever he calls me to do. I might fight a little bit, but you understand how it goes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Grace is the ability of God. It's the power of God. It's the ability that you didn't have without God. You needed what to be saved? Grace. Why? Because you weren't good enough by yourself to be saved. You weren't good enough for yourself by yourself to get in God's graces. So you needed grace. Grace is God's ability that you don't have. How do we change a town around? How do we change a city around? How do we have impact an area? By grace. If it's by anything else, it's not God. And it's not good. And it won't stand. It won't last. And so if we're a church that exalts each member of the church to a place of pride and take away the very thing, the order that God has placed in the church. Like, listen, Paul wasn't ashamed to say, listen, I'm boss. You remember what I read there back in 1 Corinthians? He was talking about obeying him. Man, you know, preachers would, they would have all kinds of, they'd probably get kicked off Facebook for saying something like that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's, Paul said that. He wasn't afraid of saying that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see that all through these leaders of the New Testament. Peter stood up and gave them what for? Amen? Said, listen, you can either listen or not. Submit yourself or not, but this is what happens if you don't. Amen? So listen, if you want churches to be successful, what you first got to teach them to do is how to submit. Because without submission, you cannot get in God's grace. Because without submission, all there is pride. There is either submission or there is pride. You have one or the other. You can't have both. Submission or pride. If it's not submission, it's pride. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're excited. But I'm going to tell you the truth. This may not be a hanging off the chandeliers kind of service. But one of the things I tell you is that there is, if you can get this, this message will completely change your life. Because this message right here will guarantee that you will always be successful in the Lord. Always. Never without fail. You will always be successful. Praise the Lord. The best things, the best blessings in my life came after times where I had to submit myself, even to the point where I felt like I was almost debasing myself to do so. But I knew that it was right before the Lord that I did it. And I did it, and God blessed me for it. And the things that they haven't manifested yet will still be a blessing in my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. The fruit, the proof of the pudding, as Pastor Mike always says, is in the eating. Amen? Glory to God. And he's an example of it as well. I've watched that man. Do you remember, you know, one time, Pastor Michael. Now, he's like the top dog in the family churches. But I watched that man stand there before Dr. Dufresne, and Dr. Dufresne said, are we taking, or, you know, he said, what we were going, they were leaving, you know, they're preaching, after he had preached, and he said, well, we're going out here, and he's like, are we taking your car? And Pastor Michael said this, and it was all sincerity and all honesty. I could tell, I just knew. He looked at me, and he said, doctor, he said, whatever you want to do. He said, if you want to drive and want me to walk, I'll do it. And he was serious. Yeah. And you know something? He would have rejoiced if doctor had looked at him and said, I'll drive you walk. He would have rejoiced at it. That's true humility. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. One of the things that connected me so greatly to my pastor was because I watched the way my pastor looked at his pastor and honored his pastor. He looked at him and honored him, knowing that God had placed him in his life to change his life, and without him in his life, he had nothing. With that knowledge, I saw the way he did that, and I said, I can serve a man who serves a man like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when you look at those people, I could give you example after example of people who submit their well, we got one more set of scriptures real quick to read. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm going a little bit over, but you ain't got nowhere to go anyway, so. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5. Let's just go ahead and pull it up. 2:5 through 8. Look at this. If you don't believe me yet, well, look at Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to what? The point of death, even the death of the cross. What do you deserve? Jesus laid it all down. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Obedient to death. There's nothing, nothing that should stop us or hinder us from our obedience to the plan and will of God. Amen? And so as we go forward, if we want to be people that are examples, if we want the very power of God, these are the people that God used to open blind eyes. These are the people that God used to raise the dead, to make them living again. These are the people that walked on water. See, people want that stuff, but will you be obedient? And the idea to the point of death is not that we all have to die for our faith, because we certainly don't all have to. But the idea of it is that even to that point, there's nothing that would stop your humility, your submission, because Christ submitted himself to the cross. Said he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And yet even in that place, he was equal with God. So God himself submitted himself to the plan for the purpose of doing what he was called to do. He submitted himself completely. God did. And yet people will sit there and say, I'm not submitting to nobody. Oh, really? Are you above Jesus? There's the pride. You can pick it out. It's easy to see it. Now, we don't go around pointing it out in other people, but we can certainly watch it in ourselves. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I know it was a little bit one of those stiffer messages, but glory to God. There is nothing that will change your life like the Word of God. Submit yourself to it. Submit yourself to the place where God has called you and watch what he does.